Welcome to Airtime, presented by AIR, Arts Incubator of Richardson, in partnership with the new Alamo Draft House here in Richardson. Airtime is a signature artist interview series featuring artists and creative thinkers in Richardson and the Dallas-Fort Worth area, where artists share about their art and why their creativity makes a difference. It's November 20th, 2013, and today's guest artist is renowned voiceover artist and actor, Mr. Alan Ackles. Please give a warm welcome to our moderator, Chris Tucker.
Welcome to Airtime here at the new Alamo Draft House at 100 South Central Expressway in Richardson, Texas. Alamo Draft House is essentially located on the southwest corner of Beltline Road and I-75. My name is Chris Tucker, and I'm your moderator. In my years as a radio announcer for WRR, composer, performer, and conductor, organizations such as Arts Incubator of Richardson engage its community with worthwhile events to showcase the arts. Airtime is a program designed to be a collective think tank on the arts, and we accomplish this by bringing in the artists from our community and engaging our audience members. Well, in radio broadcasting, time is an important component, so to help us along the way, I have something here to keep an eye on the clock. When time is up for a particular section, we'll hear this sound, a desk bell. Again, please welcome to the Alamo Draft House stage, actor Alan Ackles.
Order up.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Order up. Well, thank you, Chris, for having me.
Sure. Being an actor covers a wide range of disciplines and pervades multiple media outlets, including film, television, theater, and radio. And as we talk about this during the interview, you have embraced much of the actor gamut, including a focus on voice acting. Did you always want to be an actor?
Well, listen to his voice, speaking of voices, yeah. Not really. I grew up in the 50s and 60s and watched a lot of television, so I picked up a lot of things throughout those years. But I never really wanted to be an actor because, A, I didn't think I was pretty enough or good enough, and B, actors starve for the most part, unless you really hit it big and moved to Los Angeles or New York, and I was never willing to sacrifice that move. I was perfectly content here in North Texas with my family. But it just kind of happened for me, but I sort of came in the back door through advertising and through commercials, but never really had the desire to be an actor. But one day I discovered that, hey, I can do this, and I can get paid for it. So, that's been 30 years ago.
And as you said, you're a Texan, as well as much of your family. You grew up in Greenville, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And went to high school there.
Any Greenvilleites here?
There we go, a couple of them.
Are you seriously? Really? Wow. Howdy.
Can you share with us any stories during that time that may have piqued your interest in utilizing your voice? You told me about an experience with the local marching band.
Growing up, yeah. Actually, I guess it was really my first job, although it was not a paid job. And I don't know why they picked me, but when I was in high school, I guess as a senior, the Greenville High School had a band, and they also had one of the first drill teams in the state, and maybe even in the country. And I don't know if any of you know the infamous drill team director, Gussie Nell Davis, but she actually started the Kilgore Rangerettes, and she started that whole drill team concept. The drill team in Greenville was called the Greenville Flaming Flashes. And and they're still called that to this day. But the director of the Flashes asked me if I would like to announce the halftime show, and I said, sure, that'd be fine. I mean, I've never done that, but you know, send me up to the booth and give me the microphone and I'll do my best. So they gave me a script and I went up to the booth during the halftime games and I said, here's the Greenville High School marching band, you know, and would do that. And then the Flaming Flashes came out on the field and I did that as well. So that's sort of, I guess, how I was kind of piqued my interest in it a little bit at that point. But yeah, that was my experience back in the old high school days.
You mentioned that acting didn't come to you until a little bit later on, but you did go to college for another degree, and you actually went to a college very close to home here at what is now Texas A&M Commerce.
I did, and at the time it was called East Texas State University, which is up in Commerce, and my mother actually went to that college as well back when it was called East Texas State Teachers College. Things have changed there quite a bit through the years. But backing up just a little bit, back in high school, I did do a couple of musicals. I was in the choir. I was in the All-State Choir during those years. This was 66, 67, before most of you were around. But except for you, yeah. but I played Ike Skidmore in a production of Oklahoma in my junior year. And then I had the lead in Bye Bye Birdie, played Albert, which was great fun. Which is kind of interesting because my middle son also, when he was a senior in high school, had the lead in his high school musical, and he played Tony in West Side Story. So that was kind of neat. But, I went to college there at East Texas State University and majored in business, which I was not good at and didn't like it. And so I thought, gosh, I've got to do something that I enjoy. So I switched over to radio and television. Really enjoyed that. But it was mostly hands-on production, kind of, you know, video and film and cameras and behind the scenes, and really no acting or no theater training. Although I did have a speech class, which I really enjoyed, and learned how to talk there. But at that point, I scored the highest score on the announcer's test for that degree. And that was, in the early 70s. And I also, one other terrific thing about going to East Texas State University at that time was that I met my wonderful wife, who is sitting up there in the very corner of the theater. And we've been married for over 42 years. Did I answer your question? I have no idea. Just kind of take off and...
So following East Texas State University, your degree was in RTVF, correct? Did that degree spring forward you into an acting work, or was it a situation where you, for lack of a better term, bird-dogged the acting landscape to find work? I mean, did it help? Did it?
Well, it was sort of in the early stages. Acting was not yet there. But let me just give you a brief. How long?
We can go as long as you want.
Oh, not very long. Oh. Bird dogged the landscape. Can I use that? I really like that. Got the radio and television degree and was really interested in that and wanted to find a job in that area. And it was very difficult, too, because there are a lot of kids who got out of school with RTV degrees and just couldn't get a job because... The market is saturated with people looking for jobs, and there just aren't that many radio and TV stations around for hundreds of thousands of kids to fill jobs. But I was determined to find something, and I ended up with a job at WGN Television in Chicago. So we packed up and pulled a trailer up there, my wife and I, and lived there for a couple of years. And then we came back to Texas, and I actually went to work for an advertising agency here in town, and it was sort of connected to my WGN work. I never worked on camera or on air. It was all behind the scenes. So I got this job here in Dallas at Tracy Locke Advertising and worked with sending out videotapes to the radio and TV stations that they bought time on, airtime. So I did that for several years, and I sort of worked my way into broadcast production, where it was very, very interesting, and I had no idea that this process existed. The advertising agency has a production staff, and they actually produce the commercials. They go out and they bid companies. Companies shoots the spot. The creative team writes the spot, and they shoot it and produce it, and then they buy airtime and get it on the air. I worked my way into that department. I just loved it. And I was a producer for a little while and produced several commercials. I worked on the old El Paso account, Capri Sun, Borden, Texas Instruments, Frito-Lay, just several other accounts, and just had a great time and sort of got my feet wet in terms of hiring talent to work in those commercials. And I made contacts at that point. Well, I left the agency and I had made contacts with some talent agents. And I actually was jobless, and I went to the talent agents and I said, hey, can I, you know, maybe do some voice work or something like that? Sure, yeah. In fact, if you lose a few pounds, you can probably do some on-camera work. So at that point, when I signed with a little agency that's no longer in existence here in Dallas, the Norton Agency, I was there for 4 years, and I started going on auditions, and I started booking stuff, and I had no idea why, but it was like, this is great. You know, I can do this. I love it. I get paid pretty good, and that sort of, that sort of eased into doing film bit parts, and I did several episodes of Dallas, several episodes of Walker, Texas Ranger, and as my voice got, you know, older and more mature, I started to do voice work, and so this is kind of the Reader's Digest version, but just stop me whenever you want me to, but anyway, that's what I still do to this day.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about voice acting. You know, it's not an easy discipline because it... either you can say deprives, or actually, Molly, a better word is relieves the audience of facial cues and responses. A voice actor has to rely on vocal gestures to convey emotion and state of mind. How did you learn this craft? Was it from formal studies, or is it something you picked up along the way?
You know, I never really had any formal studies. And I admit that. I just, as I said earlier, I grew up in the 50s and 60s. And the media and the commercials and the film and stuff just kind of sunk in, and that was sort of my training ground. And you know, it's just been a real blessing that I've been able to do that with it, because people work and train and train and study before they can work professionally and get paid. I was very blessed to just jump right in and do it, and it's as the same with another member of my family, okay, who also acts.
What would you say are the key components of voice acting? I mean, if someone in the audience was interested in considering this profession, what advice would you give?
First of all, to have a voice like yours.
Oh, well, thank you.
You know, it's kind of a subjective thing, because every project requires a different voice and a different sound and different inflection and different interpretation. And it's sort of hard to put your finger on it. And it's changed through the years. Years ago, back in the 50s and 40s, I don't know if any of you were here to see some of these promos, but I think Walter Winchell was on there, and some of the old guys, Glenn Ford was on there. You know, they all talked like this back then. You know, I'd like to see you in my office right away. And it was just kind of staccato and very sort of robotic, the dialogue back then. But that really has evolved through the years. Smoke pell-mell, you know, that sort of thing back in the 50s, has really evolved into just talking to the people, because creatives at advertising agencies like for you to talk to the people and to communicate with them, just like I'm doing with you. And sometimes that's hard, you know, when you hear an announcer on the radio say, hey, it's 11:35 here, the next song, you know, the top 40 survey, blah, blah, blah. And that gets kind of old, and a lot of the creatives say, nah, I don't want that, I want somebody to talk to the people. And nowadays, in fact, it has been for several decades, advertising agencies will produce a commercial, and they'll use a lot of the voices you hear on the commercials, you don't know that it's, Gene Hackman, they use celebrities nowadays, and you don't know, you know, who they are, but they communicate and they act. You know, they take those acting skills and they communicate with their voice, and it's it can be rather difficult if a copywriter or creative director wants it a certain way, but usually when those guys George Clooney does a lot of stuff, when they want an actor or a celebrity to do those voiceovers, it's kind of a prestigious thing. Hey, we got George Clooney to do our commercial, you know. We got Michael Douglas to do our commercial. So it's all different. And of course, the bigger markets have the bigger budgets, and they can afford those guys. But in Dallas, you know, I'll work for anything. And that's another thing too in Dallas, and I've been really blessed to have made a living in Dallas as an actor and a voice talent, as a commercial print model, because you have to do all of those in order to make a living. Just a day player on a film. I've done 6 episodes of Dallas. I've done 6 or 8 episodes of Walker, Texas Ranger, and I've done some other films which through the years have just kind of faded away. But you have to do it all in order to make a living here in Dallas. The work is really in L.A. and New York, if you want to go out there and suffer through that.
So put us in your shoes about the process when you receive a script. How do you get into character? Is there an approach to it?
Well, often they will send you a set of specs. I'll just give you a little scenario. I have a home studio, and I will get an audition that comes through my agent, and they will send a set of specifications that they want this person to sound like. They may want you to be a storyteller. They want you to maybe want to be warm and friendly. Perhaps they want you to be flat or just kind of monotone. So it varies on what the copywriter wants. And when you get it, you take those specs into consideration, and you do your best to recreate that. And sometimes you'll get booked. Often you don't. You audition a lot more than you get booked. I was just telling Donna the other day, I've probably done 150 auditions this year, voice auditions, and I bet I haven't booked 10 of them. So it's a very competitive business. And it's also very competitive in that the technology has changed to where the guys in L.A. and New York and here in Dallas, they all compete for the same job because voices can be recorded digitally anywhere in the country and around the world. So that's been going on for about 10 or 12 years.
What commercials might we have heard you in lately?
Probably not very many. Actually, I have. I've been the voice of Kennywood, which is a theme park up in Pittsburgh, up in Pennsylvania, for several years. I'm the voice of Tyler Junior College, which is just south of us, about an hour and a half. I also have a series of spots on called Forest Park Medical Center. I don't know if you've seen their ads lately, but I do the voice for that. And through the years, I've just done a ton that aren't necessarily running now, but I remember one session I was in. I was the voice of Beanie Weenie. Beanie Weenie. And they booked me for that, and I went in. The line was, Beanie Weenie, moms love the protein, iron, and fiber as much as kids love the taste. And I did it. Wait, do another take. Beanie Weenie, moms love the protein, iron, and fiber as much as kids love the taste. And then I was horsing around. The session was about over, and I was horsing around, and I thought, I'll just have some fun. Beanie Weenie, moms love the protein, iron, and fiber as much as kids love the taste. And they had me lay a couple of those down, and they actually used it. And it was so funny because here's this kind of serious, boisterous announcer talking about Beanie Weenie. Anyway, they used that, and it ran on the network, and it was kind of a neat deal.
Well, aside from voice acting, you've done work in film and television, as you mentioned earlier. What would you say are the most memorable roles that you've played in television? And to add a spoiler question, what was your impression of working with Larry Hagman as well as Chuck Norris?
Well, I haven't done a whole lot of film work, and that's probably because I haven't done a lot of theater. I haven't done any theater, except when I was in high school. A lot of the theater actors who will get most of the work. So for those of you interested in, if you ever get into the business, it's good to have some theater background because they know you can memorize your lines, you can hit your mark, you know direction and take direction and that sort of thing. Most memorable moment in film. I don't have that many, but let me just say that Larry Hagman is just like everybody's uncle. He's just a great guy, and everybody misses him now because he passed away last year, or maybe it was early this year. I think it was last year. I was actually his doctor the second time he got shot, back in the 80s, during that whole run. And then just recently, for the new, the return of Dallas, I worked with him just a little bit before he passed away, and also with Linda Gray on a couple of scenes. In terms of memorable, nothing particular. It was kind of fun to do the Challenger, the space shuttle. We went down to Houston to shoot that, and I was a launch director. And that was a really interesting project. Had a great time doing that, as sad as that was. Trying to think if there's anything else. Nothing comes to mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the business of an actor involves finding representation. We mentioned a little bit about it and led into where you're at now with the Kim Dawson Agency. Why is it important to have representation as an actor?
Well, they have all the contacts. The producers go to them. They know the talent agents, and they know that the talent agents have the talent. So you have to go sign with an agent in order to get exposure. So the process is perhaps you've had some theater background, and maybe you've done a play or something, and the agent comes to the theater and sees you and likes you and comes approaches you afterwards and says, hey, I'd like to sign you, you know. That doesn't happen all that often, but it does happen. Otherwise, it's show up at an agency and let them look at you, have headshots done, and ask if they'll sign you. But they have to know your talent. So you really, you know, it's hard to get experience if you don't have a talent agent. So it's kind of a catch-22 there. You have to get some. When I left the agency, I had no formal training, so I put together a voice tape that I found some commercials, some old scripts, and I just re-recorded those and had the capability to do that. And then I went to the agent and said, what do you think about this? And they said, yeah, we'll represent you. So you can do it that way. But you do have to have representation. Otherwise, the producers will not know about you in the market. So,
for a long time, you were a resident of this great city of Richardson and spent many years here. Your children were raised here and went to school just down the way at Berkner High School. Why did you ultimately choose to live in Richardson while pursuing your acting career here in Dallas?
Well, we moved back to Richardson when we came back from Chicago. We lived here. Donna's from Richardson. Her family was here. So we settled here. It's a great town, great community, good schools. And we just love the area, and we love being close to the family. And we stayed here, and all of our kids went through Berkner High School over on the east side of town. We have two boys and a girl, and they're all married and have their own kids now, too. But it's been a great community through the years. And we decided a few years ago to go a little further out in the country, so we moved. And but it was just a great experience and a good community.
So my father is a doctor, an Army colonel, and will soon be retiring after 36 years of service in the Army. I grew up thinking my path could lead me to a field in medicine. I was adept at science and music, but ultimately chose music, the one that didn't include the paycheck. I didn't exactly follow in my father's footsteps, although he was quick to point out to me one day that, my music can heal the soul. So in a way, I do have some kind of healing powers with music. Well, you have a son who has followed in your footsteps. Tell us a little bit about Jensen.
Well, Jensen Ackles is my boy, and he plays Dean on Supernatural. I don't know if any of you know that series or not, but he has been on the show for, this is his ninth season there, and he shoots in Vancouver, and he's done very well, and he does a great job at it. And he was the one I was telling you about that played Tony in West Side Story, his senior year in high school. He grew up not interested in acting at all, sort of like I did. He just sort of has the knack for it. He played sports.
He was a trombone player?
He actually played the trombone in junior high school. And I remember Mr. Brumbaugh called us, and he said, he had such a funny voice, Mr. Brumbaugh, God bless him. He said, I want your son to just keep playing the trombone. He's really good. You know, but Jensen was interested in sports. And he continued to do the sports thing up until he got into high school. And then he took theater for fun, but then he had to decide between baseball and theater. So he took theater. Well, he ended up playing, what part did he play in Cyrano de Bergerac? Not the lead, but the one right before that, which is, anybody know the theater, Cyrano de Bergerac? Yeah, okay. He did that his junior year, and then his senior year, he played Tony in West Side Story. He'd never sung before in front of an audience, and he beat out the best male singer at the school for that part. So he was just, man, you know, the guy was on fire. And then maybe his junior year, a talent agent came to town to hold a little workshop and try to find some kids, take out to L.A. and groom them for the business. And one of Jensen's friends took that workshop and asked Jensen if he wanted to go along with him. So he did, and the talent agent saw Jensen, and he called us and said, I've got to have your son out in California. I said, I think he could be a teen idol. And we said, no, you know, he's got to finish high school, and we want him to go to college. And so the summer after high school, we decided to let him go out to L.A. for a couple of weeks, see if he liked it. He was all signed up to go to Texas Tech, we actually lost our deposit from that, didn't we? And he had such good response from just the 2 weeks being out there. He actually booked an episode of a little series called Sweet Valley High, which was on Saturday mornings. He did an episode of that while he was there for 2 weeks. I mean, that's just unheard of. So he came out, we talked about it, and we decided that he should try it for a year. So we packed up his Pathfinder and loaded up a trailer on Labor Day of 1996, and we headed west. And I moved him into a little apartment out there, and we got to know his manager really well. And tell me if I'm going too long. Got to know him really well, and he put me on a plane to come back to Dallas, and I was going to leave him there, and that was really hard to do. But the next morning, he called and he said, "Hey, Dad, I got this audition for this sitcom called Mr. Rhodes, and it's on NBC." And I said, "Great, son, go get it." Well, he booked it, and he, you know, he was like a guest star on there for maybe 10 or 12 episodes, and so he started to make a nice little income. It was the first job, the first audition he went on, he booked, which is unbelievable. So he was on that sitcom for a little while, and then it was canceled, and he had a few months that he had some downtime, and he actually was about to come back home. And I know you probably would have corrected me a dozen times on this story, but anyway, it's close. he probably would have come back home, but he got this audition for Days of Our Lives. And he called and says, "You think I should do that?" And it's a soap opera. And I said, "I don't know, maybe not." But so he went ahead and did it. And so he played the part of Eric on Days of Our Lives for three full years. And two of those years, he was nominated for a Daytime Emmy. So he wanted to move out. His agent wanted to move out of soap opera and get into some other things. So I'll try to make this shorter. He left Days of Our Lives. He worked with Jessica Alba on Dark Angel for a year. They actually wrote him into the script. That show was canceled. By the way, he got to work with who's the director? Who's the director on? Thank you. Very good. It's James Cameron's brother here in the audience. James, you got to work with James Cameron on that, because that was his baby. And he was on that show for a year, and then he went to work on Dawson's Creek. They wrote a script wrote him into the script for that. A year on Smallville. Actually, a little known fact, Jensen and Tom Welling were the two finalists for Superman in Smallville, and Tom got it. But Jensen had, I guess, you know, there were other plans for him, and so he worked for a year on Smallville, and then they hired him up on Supernatural, and he's been there for 9 seasons. And he's actually directed 2 or 3 episodes too, so he's really into it.
So after meeting you last week, I watched the Supernatural episode again, the one in which you played Detective Pike. This is, if you guys have Netflix, it's season 8, episode 3. It's called Heartache. Go watch it. I found myself smiling watching the relationship between father and son as opposed to Detective Pike and Dean Winchester. My question is, when you watch Jensen on the screen, do you see your son acting, or are you able to lose yourself in the story and actually see him in character? In the case of Supernatural, do you see him as Dean Winchester, or that's my boy?
Oh, no, we never watch the stuff. No. No, actually, we do. gosh, I'm not sure. Well, the character is so close to Jensen's personality because, you know, he has this gift where he can do drama really well and he can do comedy really well. And then that's just kind of what Dean is in the show. So it's a little of both. He does this kind of sort of this Midwestern, maybe a little further east accent with the Dean character, which kind of pulls him away from Jensen. But yeah, that's an interesting question. But you know, we don't miss any of the episodes. But to have worked with him, he actually directed that episode. So he saw the script. He called me. He said, "Hey, he actually invited Donna and me up to watch him direct, which we'd never done." And we said, "That'd be great. We'll just go up and watch him direct." Well, then he called a few days later and said, "Hey, Dad, there's this part in here, the part of the detective. It's, you know, it's just a couple of scenes. While you're here, why don't you just do that?" I said, "Okay." You know, it's a little more dialogue than I like to handle, but anyway, I did, and it was just great fun. Anyway, if you watch the episode, you'll see. It was kind of fun.
Well, here's a quick story. Although I am a big admirer of Supernatural, I have to clear the air and admit that I actually found Alan first, which then led me to Jensen's filmography. But when I was a radio announcer at WRR, I became interested in expanding the scope of what I would do vocally. And I came across the Kim Dawson Agency's website for more information. And clicking through the site, I found a list of men with commercial voice acting experience. And you were the first name, Ackles, eh? Yeah. You were the first name on that list.
Yeah, I was always the guinea pig in class, you know. Alan, would you like to come to the chalkboard and work on this problem?
And I didn't really learn about the Supernatural series and Jensen being your son until its third season, because I didn't pick up on that. I was a part of the old WB viewership when Buffy the Vampire Slayer was out and Dawson's Creek and those episodes, but I had kind of felt like I had graduated from that channel onto some other stuff, and I believe it was my wife Kim who came across the show and said we need to check it out, and we started watching it in the third season, and then use Netflix to catch ourselves up with seasons one and two, but we've been a regular watcher. But I wanted to just take a quick second and thank AIR for this opportunity. I read about you once, and this opportunity here with Airtime to bring you in and just to learn more about voice acting. It's definitely rekindled my interest, so maybe I'll look into it as well, but I just want to thank you for coming in today.
Well, you're quite welcome. You've got the pipes for it. Yeah, you definitely do. I don't, and there again is that thing that it just is all dependent on the project. Sometimes I look for a medium or a high voice, and sometimes I look for, you know, a deeper voice like yours, so it's very subjective.
So speaking of projects, any exciting upcoming new projects for you, TV or commercial appearance that we can look forward to seeing?
Oh, you find this interesting just to see how weird the business is. I still do commercials, mostly voiceover. And in fact, I do a lot of corporate work too, which you guys would never hear. But it's internal stuff. Maybe it'll go to the website. I'll do maybe some insurance benefits, voiceovers for a company or whatever. But I still do on-camera commercials. I don't do as many as I used to. You know, the older you get, the less you work. But I went to, it's kind of funny, I went to an audition. Give a plug for Baylor Hospital here. I went to an audition for Baylor Hospital to play the part of a doctor and auditioned, you know, did a little improv. And so they call me back for the part of the doctor. And I thought, great, I'm going to call back. In fact, I often get callbacks, which is great, but I don't always get the job. So I went to call back for the Baylor Hospital and also played the part of a doctor, did a little improv with a guy talking about the hip replacement and that sort of thing. And so they called me a few days later and said, hey, you booked the job, great. But you're not going to play a doctor, you're going to play a medical research person. I said, okay, that's fine. You know, it all pays the same. So the day before I shoot, I look on the call sheet, and it says, Alan Ackles here, man on gurney. So when you see the new Baylor Hospital spots here locally, I like this. Anyways, a little more than that. The guy was supposed to have had a heart attack, coming to the hospital, and the nurse is calming him and, you know, giving those reassurance, you know, looks and that sort of thing. So anyway, that should be popping up. Who knows? Who knows? It could hit the cutting room floor, as they often do.
Is there a website we can go to for more information about you?
Oh, well, I just have alanackles.com. It just has a sample of my work. And, you know, that's basically all you need when you do voice work. People can find it. They'll hear what you can do, and then they'll ask you to audition. And I'm represented by the Kim Dawson Agency here in Dallas and by Pastor Ernie Bosby in Houston. So, you know, they like to get booked through them, because that way they can get their 10 or 15%.
And you can also read a little bit about you on the International Movie Database, which has an app for those of you who have iPads and iPhones and such, IMDb. So that's where I found you after the agency started doing a little research into your background. And it's just been great that you've been able to come here and spend a little time with us.
Well, thank you. Oh, it's order up.
So at this point, I'm going to go around, and if you have any questions, just raise your hand, and I will bring the mic to you, and Alan will answer the best that he can. So anybody have a question, just raise your hand.
Or if anybody has an answer.
I noticed Liev Schreiber did a lot of voice work for recent sports documentaries. He did one, then I heard him in another, and then another, and then another. Everything from Lombardi to the Brooklyn Dodgers and things like that. Do you ever find that one job snowballs into another, or a type?
Not in Dallas. No, that doesn't happen here. The LA guys have that market cornered. It's just one of those things. You know, the celebrities are out there, and you know, Liev Schreiber's a name, and they're truly talented, and they can do just exactly what those guys want. But the exceptional talent, and I'm not saying there's not good talent here in Dallas, but the exceptional talents in Los Angeles and New York.
So we're talking a little bit about celebrity or film and TV actors doing voice work. Do you, as a primarily a voice actor, consider that double dipping? I mean, is it so competitive that that's kind of like they're cheating a little bit, or?
Well, heck yeah. No. What do you mean double dipping? You mean doing film and also doing voice work? And oh, you're talking about the celebrities taking away our job? That's hard. No, it's not. It's hard because we could do those jobs and charge a whole lot less. I remember when I was at Tracy Locke as a commercial producer, somebody said, hey, let's get Orson Welles to do the voiceover. And actually, we ended up getting Howard Duff. And I don't know if maybe some of you older folks up here know who Howard Duff was. He was nobody's that old up here, except for me. He was an actor back in the 40s and 50s. I went out and directed him for a couple of spots. But they like the, you know, it's just sort of a, I don't know, let's get a celebrity to do our commercial. If we have the budget, we can go to Los Angeles and stay in the finest hotels, eat the finest food, and record this guy and come home. And that means they just kick up their ad budget and mark it up more. But, that's work that we could do and don't. So it's unfair. It's really unfair, but that's the way it is. So we're happy to do work here. A lot of the agencies still use talent in LA and New York. They have an enormous pool to choose from, and not so much here.
I'm curious as to whether or not, before you do a final taping of a role, do you do certain vocalizations to get your voice warmed up like singers do, so that you're prepared and your voice is sort of stretched and...
My wife will attest to the fact that I clear my throat a lot just to you know, kind of get it clear. But nothing in particular, although I believe they teach that in theater to warm up. And, you know, I just kind of shoot from the hip. So, no. You know, it's nothing in particular, no. But I think there are exercises. Actually, I've gone on set with some actors that are going... just to get their lips warmed up, and then they'll do a take, and the director goes. No, but that is an exercise that I've heard some actors do, is the raspberry kind of thing. But.
Okay, I just have a...
Where are you?
I'm right here, sorry.
Hi.
When your children were going through Berkner, I know at that time Mrs. Kaiser was the theater director there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she taught Jensen.
Did she ever bring you in to talk to the kids? Did, you know, Jensen ever bring you in to help him out with his acting career? Or was he kind of doing that on his own?
You know, she asked, she didn't ever have me come in, did she? I don't think so. I don't think she did. However, she wanted me to play a part, I believe, in West Side Story, and I declined for some reason. I just wasn't comfortable doing live stuff because I've never done theater. You know, I have to have a take two, so, and a take three. So I declined to do that, and I think that's the only time we ever chatted about the work. Yeah, any other? Are we done? Am I to hit the bell? Ding, ding, ding.
So we conclude airtime with a game. It's called the Top 10 Shorties. And essentially, I have 10 questions, short answers, quick. Hopefully, we'll get it done in a minute. And you just...
Is this like Word Hero?
Just answer away. You know, peanut butter or jelly.
Oh,
what
gee.
What do you like the most?
I'm not that quick.
So, okay. All righty.
Timing.
I'm going to time it. I'm waiting. I got 10 seconds here. Okay. All right. Ready, set, go. Film or television?
Film.
Elvis or the Beatles?
Neither.
Favorite dialect to speak? Besides your own?
Indian. Eastern Indian.
Eastern Indian.
What course of like this? Yes.
Are you a cat or dog person?
I am a I'm a both. I like cats and dogs.
Dallas of the 80s or the 2010s?
The 80s.
Are you a morning or night person?
I am a night person.
If you had the opportunity, an actor or actress you would like to work with?
Oh, I've always wanted to work with Sally Field.
What's your favorite place to eat? So we can stalk you.
Uno Pizzeria in Fort Worth. Huh.
Pens or pencils?
What? pens.
Now, is it Mr. Ackles or Papa Ackles?
It's Poppy.
Poppy Ackles. And that is the top 10 shorties.
I'm glad you didn't say boxers or briefs.
We can do a bonus question if you'd like. This is Airtime, created by Arts Incubator of Richardson, and I'm your moderator, Chris Tucker, here at the new Alamo Draft House at 100 South Central Expressway in Richardson, Texas. Airtime is underwritten by Alamo Draft House, Dr. Barry Kinesic, Christensen Davis Bullock LLC, and Eric L. Wise, and funded in part by the City of Richardson through the City of Richardson Arts Commission. We invite you to check out artsincubatorrichardson.org for future events and news.